Well, who's this week? I think I'm ready. Computer's ready. Everyone else ready?
I'm sure.
All ready.
So the Pine City Council work session of Wednesday, October 28, 2009 is called to order at 5:09 p.m. And we will start with roll call in our usual manner, please.
City Recorder Lamona Damavel.
City Attorney Jeremy Green.
Mayor Kitty Shields.
Councilor Barbara Hedges.
Councilor Douglas Wood.
Administrative Assistant Patty Morgan.
All right, and Councilor Adele Mullaney is away by arrangement. We do have a forum, so we are ready to go. First item is review and evaluation of auditor proposals. Lorna, that's yours.
Okay, well, we put out the proposal for auditing services. We only received one back. We did receive one late, but that can't be, we can't do that, so. And they knew they were late, so. Here we are, so. And actually the bidder was one that has done other cities. He's familiar with QuickBooks. Looks like he can complete it by November 30th. This is the deadline for having our books done for the year, and the services will not exceed $5,000, and that's in our price range.
Cheaper than it was last year.
Much cheaper. He's out of Eugene.
I'm sorry.
He's out of Eugene. Any comment? Discussion?
Who did the audit last year?
Falk.
Price Harrigan is
back. Price Harrigan and Falk.
And they didn't read.
They were the ones that submitted it late this year.
They what?
They submitted the bid a day late.
Oh, do we have to have more than one bid?
No.
No.
We can pick whoever we want.
Mm-hmm.
Well, big choice, huh?
Yeah. That was how it went.
Well, you can decide to waive the deadline requirement if you wanted to, but...
No, 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 we don't want to do that. Is this a good, reputable company?
Did he kind of recommend the beer or something?
Patty ran into him over in Eugene at one of the OAMR classes.
Okay.
And so he gave her his card, so we...
The chamber work seems pretty professional.
Mm-hmm. Seemed like a real nice guy. Real nice man.
You're impressed?
Yeah, I mean, he was older, conservative.
Careful now.
He just seemed like he was experienced
and
very professional.
Well, I like the fact that we have an awful lot of these city audits already on here that he's done, so he's obviously practiced at that.
Huge.
Yeah.
So my recommendation is to go with this company.
And that audit starts when and completes when?
We'll start it pretty soon here.
Yeah.
Has to be completed before the end of the year?
Yeah. November 30th.
No, November?
Not really.
Oh.
It has to be filed by December 31st.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Okay.
He's got plenty of time, but obviously we need it done in the end of November. That's great.
Okay.
Last year we had to request an extension. I don't think we got it done until January, so we're ahead of schedule.
Yep.
Yay. Well, I didn't see anything in here that would make, you know, that would raise my eyebrow and make me go, eh. In fact, it looks very good to me, and I appreciate Patty's input. Did you look at these?
Not my character.
Here, here's mine. So
it's nice to have a personal meeting to get a good impression.
Is the graphic
It is. It really is. So if everyone is...
I've got these.
Okay.
Does everyone feel like they're ready to vote on this?
Yes.
All right, then we will move it to work session number 12. Regular meeting. Yes, number 12.
Okay.
Man, it's a good sandwich.
Yeah.
going to do that right now, so I don't get myself all messed up. All right. Next item is review and evaluation of Eagle Road improvement proposals. And Luana, I guess that's yours too, huh?
Okay, yep. We put out bids for the Cable Road work for graveling, 3 more inches compacted. We received 3 bids in. And 2 of them seem quite high. And my estimation, it was quite a bit higher than what we had anticipated. The other one is right in the ballpark, I feel, and that's my recommendation, is the Russell Construction.
But there was nothing in there except the price.
Yep.
But the other ones, well, put in a lot.
Yes, they did. And actually, Vic Russell, he had called me and had some questions on it. Maybe he feels like, I don't know.
Well, what we paid last summer, or last spring, or whenever we did Cato and all the roads up there, we didn't pay $27,000 for Cato all by itself.
No.
And we had it completely graded and graveled, $27,000 and $25,000. Seems like it's awful lot. To me, and basically all Cato needs is a little grade job and dump some rock on it.
Mm-hmm.
All the potholes are filled. Yeah, mm-hmm. You got a little washboard, but you always have that on the ground of the road, no matter what you do. So, if Vic is sincere about this price, well, holy smokes, what a bargain. And we still end up making $12,000 off the deal, right? Because
we've already spent the $12,000.
What do you mean we already spent?
I was not
last year.
I know, I'm just kidding you.
Don't make my life up today.
You're on vacation tomorrow. You can get it all today.
Don't you know yet?
Okay.
See, this is difficult for me because I don't know him or anything about him, and the other ones put conditions in there and such.
The solicitation actually requested more information than what we received from Vic, unfortunately. He did provide us all the requested information. You have copies of the solicitation document?
I will go get it.
If you don't mind, it'd be nice to show them.
Well, and Kitty, I think you would probably agree with me that if Vic said he was going to do this job and do it right, I think we could probably assume that he would do it right. I mean, I know him, you know him a lot better than I do, but I would say that if he said he could grade it and gravel it and do it right, that he would probably do it right.
Well,
from what I know him, man.
He's been doing that for a lot of years. I know my only issue is like setting up precedence with not having the proper proposal submitted. Yeah, he has nothing in here. And no timeline or anything.
You say it doesn't come.
And if there was a problem, you know, the other ones state what would happen, so.
Well, let's take a look at what there was the original, and then I sent a subsequent email.
I have a question about the Cable subdivision. See, when I first started here, I thought it was because Doug and Jenny lived there, and that's why we would do something for them. But is it the only subdivision in town that needs work?
It's the only subdivision that the city's in charge of. The road,
okay.
Most of the gravel roads are the city responsibilities.
Okay. Right.
All the rest of the roads belong to the county.
So, when it belonged to the county before,
it didn't belong.
The property belonged to a private person who subdivided it?
It was county owned, not county maintained.
We had to maintain all the roads in there ourselves.
Yeah.
We paid taxes, but we got no service.
Right.
So we had to plow the snow ourselves. We had to and I spent $7,000 on gravel just on my street. We had to fill the potholes ourselves because the county refused to do it.
Well, why did they do that when they took care of all these other ones?
Because they said that it was a private plotted subdivision and they were not, they had no control over the roads. That's what they told us.
Hmm.
And we had to do it ourselves. Now the city is responsible for the roads. We have had to assume that.
This is her supplement, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And the roads are in better condition today than they were, than they have been for the last 15 years.
Well,
simply because we put
$90,000 into it.
We put $92,000 into those roads last year.
Mm-hmm. But this project for Cagle Road, the adding the 3 inches, finishes up our grant. And we have this $25,000 grant out there. So as soon as we get this finished, we will get a $25,000 check.
Right.
Back.
We have to spend it or lose it.
Yeah,
we might as well spend it.
That I'm up on, but...
What's your thoughts, Katie?
Well, the price was good, but... I just keep going back to the incomplete submission. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's everybody else followed the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think?
I like the road grade and compact to do a 20-foot width. With a smooth drum vibratory compactor. Do any of the mat address that in here? Do they tell? Is that part of the requirement we're supposed to tell?
Not on the original one, I need that clarification.
But do any of them then assert that they're going to use the proper equipment?
And it tells who is going to be working on it also.
Mm-hmm.
Did you want to see?
Any explanation as to why there's such a large discrepancy or disparity between the proposals? We're talking about $10,000.
I know. And the only thing... explanation I can think of is maybe because Vic may have his own rock.
Well, he does.
He has his own rock yard.
If he has the rock and his own equipment, you don't have to buy the material.
Oh, wow.
But does my burger or Hooker Creek have their own rock?
I don't know what their
source is.
I don't think that's where it would come from because that mountain is cinder.
No, he's got road rock up there.
Yep.
Trust me, I've got some big boulders.
Oh, yeah.
Hard cinder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
He's got both up there. He's got basalt and cinder.
Counselors.
Well, comment.
Continue.
I think we ought to hire Vic Russell to do what he says he's going to do for $13,909. I don't think the price on the other one is reasonable at all. I really don't.
I think to protect us that we need to have him fill out the whole thing and put down who's going to be in charge of it and the equipment.
I agree. It's, and I'm still even just like the price.
The price is really good,
but you see, if we have it, we're supposed to have it broken down, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that tells us exactly why there is such a price difference, and I think we need to know that. How can we make an educated decision without knowing that?
So what do you suggest?
I mean, ultimately, it's up to the city council. I don't know if I have necessarily any suggestions. My only concern from a practical standpoint is precedent, which you've already addressed, Kitty. Mm-hmm. I mean, this obviously is an informal bid process, so we're not going through the formal RFP or RFQ process under the public contracting code. But in that situation, if there was a failure to comply with the proposal, you could outright reject the proposal because of the proposal's noncompliance. Here, I think you've got a little bit more flexibility. You know, it's a judgment call. City Council needs to make a judgment decision as to whether or not they want to go through an award contract, even though the proposal hasn't necessarily been complied with.
The Hooker Creek has their CCB number, and who's going to be working on the project, who's the foreman and all of that. And I would like to see something with the dates on there, too.
See, even from Knife River, we don't, unless I'm missing it, we don't see who's going to actually be working on the project, do we?
I would recommend that the City Council consider contacting Vic and simply say, you know, at this point you do have the lowest bid and we're very interested in that, however, you know, we would be interested in the bid set as subsequent to you providing the additional information that was missing in your first bid. Because I've worked with Vic on insurance issues, his license is far, everything's done.
I don't.
And he would hire his own employees would do the work. But having said that, that may be your best bet.
Right.
You should also note that in our proposal, we identify that the contract's going to be awarded to the lowest price responsible for. Mm-hmm. And that's something that was required based on the public contracting rules as far as our selection, our criteria.
The lowest price responsible proposal. How do we know how responsible he is without all this other information?
Well,
would he be able to supply that to us, Laura?
It's up to us.
Why don't we just do like that said and get him to supply us the information?
Or you award it and he supplies it when we get the
Besides,
budget.
Remember, I'm a real good friend of his mother, so if he messes up, we got a good out. Yes, I am.
That's right, I can't forget.
We play Bunko every Wednesday. Today was the day.
Regardless of price, I simply would not be willing to award the bid without first getting the additional information, but we're going to have to get to work on this too.
Well, just to answer the questions there on the paper to put it in, I don't think it looks good to the public to award something on somebody's good name. And everybody in town but me probably knows him, and but just to have it out there, I think it's important that we do it correctly.
I agree, and to me when I look at this, it's kind of like, you know, it's in your face. I am Ben Russell, I am great, here, hire me. That's kind of the way it comes across to me when you put something in that doesn't have all the required information. And I think if the other contractors who submitted were sitting here and saw that, and when we awarded just based on this, they'd be a little miffed. I would be if I were a contractor.
Right.
I really want to know the reason why his price is that much lower. Very most likely it is the rock.
It's probably the price of the rock.
Yeah.
Ron, which company did the first painting and grading?
Hooker Creek, wasn't it?
The state did it.
Yeah.
Hooker Creek.
did, they hauled in the gravel, and that was what.
Yeah, and if you remember, there was one road over there that did a really, really, really lousy job on. They had to come back and do it again after myself and the ex-mayor raised holy you know what with Swede down there at ODOT.
And that's why we want to know who's doing the work.
Hooker Creek also has supply, install, water, and roll. Three inches of three quarter minus space. Mm-hmm. Wasn't there something said in here how we don't think water would be needed?
Yep.
But they're already thinking ahead, and they know that we can't say that. You know, you can't predict that.
Right.
Water may be needed, so they've got it in their bid just in case, and I think that's good thinking. And I don't know, years that I've been around this kind of stuff and with my brothers doing it, I don't know of any time that they ever put down any road base without having to have some water at least.
Do we have weather-wise?
Mike?
Do we have weather-wise enough time to wait 2 more weeks? Or not?
Do you see how
that works? That's the guess.
But I don't.
Because we could wait till it's too late.
Well, it's been nice weather.
You could ultimately authorize Luana to award the contract once she feels that she's received sufficient amount of information.
But she's on vacation starting tomorrow.
How long are you going?
We're through next week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, you could authorize Kitty to do it. You could authorize you to do it.
We could do
Barbara, whomever.
Yeah.
Patty.
I've gathered from the other two companies that they were waiting to find out if they got it or not, because they have equipment down here. They're ready to either move out or hang on to it down here. But both of them, Hooker Creek in. So I'm just letting you know.
All of the equipment that they would need already here?
One piece of the equipment that they would need.
Yeah.
But I help you with information. Vicks Russell's been doing all the gravel and asphalt work for the new school. Mm-hmm. So he has all of his equipment here.
Yes, he does. And you know, I've always been an absolute proponent of spending your money in Lapine. Spend your money locally. As far as I'm concerned, if he can come up with the appropriate paperwork that matches
the request,
then I think that we ought to request him to get that into Mayor Shields immediately, and then have her make a decision based on it and award the contract, and let's get it done before the road's 2 feet deep in snow.
Okay.
If we do that, I want a very definite timeline. We're supposed to give a timeline, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I want that. Wasn't that in the...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want that, and I would want it adhered to.
Did the others give a timeline, Luana? I'm not seeing a timeline on this one.
Night River did, I think it was... There's just on this page. November 16th, 17th, and 18th.
Okay.
Hooker Creek gave theirs as November 16th and 17th.
It can't take more than a couple of days to do the whole job.
No.
It's not that big a deal.
Well, you wouldn't think so. But, you know, you have to be sure that they're going to get started when they should. And it has to be a strong commitment, and something that we can hold them to.
Well, then they'll ultimately, sign a construction contract to that effect.
Yeah, okay.
Just so you know, I want to go on record on this. Obviously, you're making, I don't want to say concessions, but more or less concessions, you're allowing someone to supplement a proposal. You know, you're bending a little bit, and that's fine. You have the discretion to do that. But as it related to, for example, the auditor proposal, it was more or less determined that she was a day late and therefore would not be considered. You see what I'm saying? So we've got to be careful. We've got to be very consistent in our application of this process. So just know that you established precedent.
Well, even if the auditor was a day late, we considered somebody else.
Well, I understand that.
I mean, what's wrong with that?
Well, because you decided not to consider the proposal because she was a day late, you know, did not write rejection of the proposal. And here we got a proposal that hasn't complied with
this is a proposal. It's just not a detailed proposal.
Understand.
I mean, it states what I'm going to do, how much I'm going to charge you. It just doesn't say when I'm going to do it.
I understand. I mean, I could split hairs, you know. You could differentiate. I'm just throwing caution.
I understand.
Essentially, the way I see it, if it's not complete, it actually isn't on time because we still have to wait.
That's true.
For the complete proposal.
That's true.
So, in that regard...
Maybe you can get that to you by Friday.
I wanted to see something like this, the bid from Hickory Creek. So what did I miss with the auditor? Did they bid in...
They were high. The subsequent one, the one that came in late, it was...
So it was higher than this one, and it was late. It was past the day due. We closed the bids at Monday at 5 o'clock, and it came in Tuesday.
Oh, I thought this was for the auditors, not for this.
That was. That's what I'm...
Jeremy was comparing the...
Sorry.
You're right.
I mean, all I'm saying is consistency in application,
right.
That's it. That way we're above approach.
You know, we also had it made easy with the auditor thing, price-wise, and the other one.
Sure.
Looks good. Looks
sure.
Real good.
Sure. And here, you've got a requirement to select the lowest responsible bidder,
mm-hmm.
and clearly Vic Russell is. There's no question about it. I mean, we're talking about $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
And so it would paint the question as to whether or not we're making prudent financial decisions if we were to award it otherwise.
Right.
But, again, I'm not doing my job unless I at least bring it to your attention.
Right. Well, then it helps to look a little deeper at the others, too. I was looking at Hooker Creek. Special conditions. One mobilization is included. Any additional move-ins will be billed as an extra $1,500. But we don't know if
we don't know
what's going to happen.
Right.
So that's kind of a red flag there. All surrounding concrete structure shall be installed to two grades prior to mobilization to project by our crew. Huh?
Mind if I chime in real quick, Kenny?
Oh, go ahead. It's a work session.
So my thought is then let's move it to the regular session, obviously. It sounds like Kitty is going to be selected as the person that's ultimately responsible for the award. The city council can provide her permission to award the contract, select the contractor, award the contractor, and ultimately sign the construction contract. That way we don't have to revisit this in 2 weeks.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah, and I'm looking at, you know, actually, Ninth River may even be incomplete unless someone sees a timeline on that.
I thought they both said same dates.
It was on the second page.
The timeline?
Sure. Like this one.
Yeah, here's Ninth
River.
This one.
Or this other page.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. It's hard to see, too. Their logos.
However, I didn't see. I see a contact person, but not. You know, who was actually going to be working on the job? That was what to do. So, I'm trying to justify this, you know, and I'm picking out anything that tells us that all applications are incomplete.
I gotcha.
So, was there? Did anyone see anything missing on any other application?
See, on this page, I thought those were the people who would be working.
Oh, jeez. Yep, they do have that. Okay. Oh, I need a new set of eyes. They do have that. Okay, I'm not going to. The biggest justification is Vic Russell's price, and it's no doubt because of the proximity of the rock. And he doesn't have to buy it from anyone else.
And he knows the area without saying surrounding concrete structures.
Yeah. That's true. He does know the area.
Such as probably current source of income.
Well, all right then, if everyone is comfortable with the contract with Jeff or construction based on getting adequate additional information.
I would like to know if he foresees any problems if the price will go up. If he comes to anything, but so he's going to give a bid with the water and all of that included.
If he's not including water, then that's not included in the bid. And if he needs water, he'd have to do that at his cost.
The
water's not that.
It's standard procedure after you lay the gravel that you put the water and then roll it. That's how they do it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, you just run a water truck down there and squirt water on it and then roll it out. Ain't no big deal.
Maybe it'll rain while they're doing it.
Huh?
Maybe it'll rain when they're doing that.
That's why we're doing that for
next year. So that would be it.
Okay. Does anyone need to discuss this any further, or
no? We're going to trust you.
Regular session number 13, and at that point we will decide who is going to do plan review. In Luana's absence.
How many is that?
Oh, no. That gets the thing down.
Well, I'm glad to know we're not doing this just for you.
No.
I appreciate that, too. But if you had to drive up and down my road with 3 feet of snow on it, you'd understand what I'm talking about.
Well, I go out to out 31 first and go strong on it. And it's like a washboard.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, difficult.
But see, we used to call our road a daily adventure.
Next item, discussion number 5. Discussion of suggested... Kegel Subdivision division of the road improvements.
Right.
Do we have paperwork for that?
No.
No. This is for discussion. The rest of the subdivision, excluding Kegel Road and including Drafter Road, are at a point that it needs touch-up work for the winter. And so council needs to decide if we want to put a bid out to have that done. It would be a matter of having ditches established.
No,
gravel up.
Don't get started on that ditch thing again.
Having a gravel
pit. We had to fill them all in.
Pardon?
We had to fill all the ditches in.
Who?
Me.
Why?
Because Hooker Creek, when they laid the gravel the first time, they put ditches on the side of the road. We ended up with a one-lane road. And we had to have them come back, and Swede came out and looked at it, and he says, who's the brainchild of this dumb job? And they had to come back and fill all the ditches in.
So where does the snow drain?
It freezes. It don't go nowhere. It's just like going in a river. We're talking about that, too.
Here's the process. Come springtime, when it thaws and the snow melts, but the ground is still frozen, where does the water go?
How long have you lived on your road?
4 years, 5 years.
Well, I've been on mine for 14 and we ain't heard a way yet.
It disappeared. I thought the town was going to flood when I moved here and there was 4 feet. I said, where does it go?
It's just normal.
Yeah, but it just disappears.
It does. It's normal.
And then
that's why we have Mother Nature. Take care of it.
Did you say, Luana, it's for the winter?
Yeah.
For the
winter.
Yeah, you do it before winter because...
I thought you said for the renter.
No, winter.
That's what I thought you said.
No, winter. That's what I thought she said too.
Yeah.
To get the roads ready, they're potholing now. They're starting to, you know, our work was done last year. It's just something that's going to need to be done every year. It can probably be done, I'm hoping, you know, around, do I dare say, $5,000 probably.
Wouldn't we be better off to do that repair work in the spring after the snow melts and after the snow plows already got everything all chewed up?
Well, it'll probably be done then, too.
And then do it in the spring?
That's what the county had done. They usually hired the I call them, I'm going to find the term that, the private contractors who they were contracting with to come in the spring, do the roads, and then in the fall, do them again. So yeah. I think they were scraping them off in the spring.
Nobody ever did Pine Drive. From the county or from anywhere else. The guy down the street that died fishing at Wickiup did it with his own tractor. Mm-hmm. I just throw that in a little.
You know, sometimes it's a little bit six of one, half a dozen of the other. Because if you do it now, then the snow plowing is going to be easier and they won't be tearing up the roads because you won't see, you know, whatever they're plowing with when it drops down into one of those ruts, then you have your blade taking a chunk out of the road somewhere else.
And they also, we also need the crowns put back on the road so that the water will have some place to go in the ditches that we're not going to have.
We don't have any ditches.
Well,
<right now.
laughs>
you know, I like these work sessions. These are really fun.
They are. Okay, so, do we have citizens currently crying for road improvements?
That was mentioned at the town hall meeting that the roads were starting to pothole up.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it was also mentioned that they are. So.
And it was
probably something we need to do on a yearly maintenance.
How budget. Much we have? How much do we have in the road budget left for this year? I know we didn't spend it all last year.
Will that $25 go to it?
No, because we already spent half of that already. Yeah. We're doing a breaking even on that.
I say everybody moves on to a paper.
Hang on.
You know how much it costs to pay the road down?
No, I think we should move.
Was it?
On
did
to
you
a
get
paper?
The
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking back with the town hall.
We've got $60,000 in the road.
Okay, then let's go ahead and do them before the snow falls down, and then we'll do them again in the spring. As long as we have the money, then let's do it.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's really the best thing to do or not, but if the council thinks that's the best thing to do, we have the money, well then, I'm getting
a lot of flack again from my neighbors.
About what?
I'm paying my taxes, and I ain't getting nothing for it, so we better be showing something somewhere. You know?
I think we're going to pay for it either now or in the spring.
I'm paying worse than the way.
Yeah, that's
it costs us more.
I think that's a strong possibility. It's more in the spring because
so when do we want to do it? Now or later?
During the plowing.
Might have to do them both. Okay, let's do them both then.
Just, you know, you're at maintenance and figure it out.
Okay, fine.
Road maintenance is an ongoing thing.
Of course.
You know, and, I think we're probably going to be ahead of the game to do it now.
All the private road districts do it both times.
Yeah.
If you were to pave these roads, how long would it take to pay off using what you use for maintenance each year?
$125,000 a mile minimum. It's probably going to be more than that. For 7.2 miles, you're talking close to $1 million.
Whoa.
It's
much more cost effective to gravel.
There ain't nobody is going to. The only way we could do that is we'll throw the bond issue and they'd take us all out here and hang us by the tree if we try to do that.
No, and the other thing that people tend to overlook is the high cost of maintenance of paved roads.
Yeah, that's true.
That's very true.
They only last 7 years at the max, and then you got to go back and chip seal them again.
And that's 7 years? And that people drive in your subdivision?
Those are all predators that are coming in there. I don't know if people that live there.
Do you relative?
Huh?
So
my suggestion would be that if you are interested in going forward with the road work, we put it obviously down on the regular session agenda, which I believe it already is.
Yeah.
Okay, well we add it, and then you authorize Luana to go through the informal solicitation process and award a contract as well. So again, we don't have to come back.
Fine. That sounds good to me.
Okay. So this will be, I wonder if it would be
cheaper to have Vic do it while he's doing the rest of it.
I think that needs to go up for separate.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, if it's
separate job.
Okay.
Well, there's lots of other people that could do that work that they can't do on that they're not.
Yes.
You've got a lot bigger pool to pick from.
Yes.
Okay. And you know,
Vic
can,
as far as equipment,
yes. Vic can bid on that too.
Yeah. Oh, he can.
Yeah. So, okay, so we're going to move that to regular session. We don't have an item for that on regular session, do we?
Or do we? No, not yet. No.
So we'll make it
13B.
No.
15B.
I already have one to add to other matters. So that will be, yeah, like Rhonda said, 15B. And you don't get A yet. Actually, I can tell you. Move to regular session, other matters, 15B. I'll announce it during the regular session, but we will have, under number 4, added agenda items. I will announce 15A, Mid-State Electric / Ford Foundation discussion, contract discussion. It's other matters on the regular session,
yeah.
Number 15. So that'll be 15A.
And the Ford Foundation and the Mid-State is what?
It's the same thing, Mid-State Electric / Ford Foundation contract discussion.
Okay.
And that will be A. Yes, 15A.
It's a letter from the Ford Foundation.
I
want you to understand that.
I have a copy of it in my front.
When you see that letter, please understand that I wasn't at that meeting when that was formulated.
That's all right. We'll get to that. Okay. We have, that'll be number 15A, the session. Okay. Sorry, I'm in the interest of time here. So, done with that. Okay, I have one other thing I would like to bring up, and that is the staff and council communication issue, yes, for a better word, that Patty brought up. And everyone should have gotten that email. I don't know if you had time to read it because it was kind of last minute today. I didn't get any emails.
I didn't get one. I went through my email before I came. And
you're not getting too much of the city email, I don't think, Barb.
Well, can you just kind of tell us what your concerns are, Patty?
Well, my concern really was that I realized over the last bit here that I was not getting CC'd on things that were going to and from the council, that were things that, you know, I might need to have that information as to answer a question or assist a council with. They called in, and then yesterday Barbara called in and wanted this copy of this memo that Jeremy had sent to the council back on, I guess, around October 15th. And I didn't have any knowledge of it, and had to wait until I had a chance to talk with Luana about it when she was available, and then get the information to Barbara. And so I guess I just wanted some clarification as to what the city wanted in regards to my position and what information I should have access to, I guess.
Okay, well, that's to a large extent, that's also staff discussion, because you need to have the flow of communication so that so things work smoothly in the office on a day-to-day basis.
Well, I've asked about it before, and just like with the staff meeting issue, it hadn't gotten resolved, so I did feel like I put it in the form of an email to address it a little bit more precisely.
Okay. I think sometimes we do forget to include everyone. I like the idea of most of the time for
both staff members to get all of the emails so that you do know what's going on. I don't know if there's time or situation where under which, you know, only Luana is. Sometimes you're just busy flying things back and forth like Luana and Jeremy.
Yeah, and it's hard, you know, because even if she's in the office, she's on the phone a lot handling administrative duties. So since her job has been changing, it's been a little bit more difficult to get that information. And I just thought from efficiency standpoint, if I just got CC'd on certain things, it might help cut down on that.
Can you sort of qualify what kind of things you think you would need?
Well, like for instance, what Counselor Shields asked for.
And you didn't have it.
Yeah, I didn't have it, didn't even know anything about it. Didn't even know it had come through.
I don't know how to establish a criteria for what should be CC'd.
Do you want my input?
I certainly do.
I think this is something that Luana and Patty need to work out. And I think this is an internal issue. You're Patty's supervisor.
Right.
And so as to what her capacity and role is in involvement in city operations and business, unless directed otherwise by the city council, is your responsibility.
Okay.
I don't think the city council wants to, I don't want to speak for you, but I would assume you don't want to be involved in these types of things.
It's not her job.
Not really. No. It is the supervisor's job. And, of course, I think we all expect for a smooth flow of communication.
I didn't realize, actually, on my emails, I have the counselors grouping, and I did not realize until she brought it up that I didn't have her in it.
Okay, yeah. Can I ask a question? Is there anything that goes on in the office that should be a secret from Patty?
No.
Simple. Make sure she gets the same information you do. That's all you have.
So if you don't mind having a whole bunch of email clutter, you know.
You ask for it, now you're going to get it, okay? So deal with it.
Yeah. And then the same goes that, you know, for counselors, you know, we should CC, I guess, all of our stuff.
Yeah.
Too, because that way nobody's in the dark. The staff is who takes care of us.
That's right.
Yeah.
So
I see no problem.
We need to know what's going on.
Can I bring up one thing real fast, like before it's 6 o'clock?
Sure.
I know you got the same phone call I did from the bulletin on we're killing all the fish in the river. Just exactly who's the weirdo to dream that up? I mean, where is this underground drainage system that is pumping groundwater with dog poop into the river that kills all the fish? What the hell are they talking about?
I didn't talk to Hillary. She left a message.
I talked to her for a long time.
I called back and left a message because I told her I really didn't know that much about it. And that any of that underground drainage stuff, she should talk to the county about, because that all went in under their direction.
Yeah.
We didn't do any of it. But I tried to throw it back on the county, but she didn't put that in her article.
No, she shouldn't. She didn't put anything that I said in the article either.
Yeah, I wouldn't have even known you talked to her.
I did. Well, you were. She said she wanted it. First, she wanted to know if you'd go on vacation to Mexico. And I thought, I'm not quite sure that this lady is altogether got the program going. You know what I mean? But where's this water supposed to be coming from anyway? We don't have an underground system around here.
May I
go back?
Forget this to the office thing. So that Luana is available.
Somebody's talking.
Okay, one minute. The
recording's that way.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Councilor Hedges, you were saying?
If Luana could perhaps have a track phone or something to use so that she will be available when Patty needs to ask her questions or somebody calls in, so that, because there are periods of time that nobody's able to get hold of her.
Okay.
You mean, so he wants to supply her with a cell phone?
No, with like a track phone. for emergency calls.
I have one, but I highly don't suggest it.
I was going to say, what the heck is
that? No, I don't either.
You pay by the minute. But you pay both ways. Oh, door's locked.
All right, then some way to get hold of her when she's out for a few hours.
Well, I wouldn't mind, you know, having staff look into a cell phone or getting a cell phone. And that's something that can just be done.
Or she has one if we could pay part of it.
No, you don't ever want to mix those things, right? Her part of Luana's cell phone bill?
No, we can't be doing that.
I think that that's largely up to Luana's discretion and within her budget. If she thinks it's necessary for you to have a cell phone provided by the city,
I don't have a problem with it. I have my own, but like I say, it is a tracked phone, and I got to pay both ways.
Yeah, but you shouldn't be expected to lose your own city either. So, how do you feel about Luana and Patty just assessing the need? And if you think that that's...
Well, I have my cell phone, and I have it listed on the phone directory, so I don't, you know... This is not a long-distance call.
So you have one.
If it's important, I don't mind it being useful.
Or are you okay with, so far, with the city just still having your personal cell phone number?
I can say, every time I get a call, I'm paying for it.
You're paying for it.
Well, you shouldn't.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
No.
I'm fine.
No, that's what I'm saying. I prefer not. That's why I don't give my number. It's for my emergency.
Okay, well, if you feel the need, staff feels the need for a city-provided cell phone for Luana, I'm okay with that. Nice.
Would that be helpful, Teddy?
Well, I think cell phones are... really neat things. I mean, you know, they're kind of an unknown. It could be very helpful. I think getting more information on the email system too, and being more informed that way too.
Right. Well, you'd probably feel more free to contact her when she's out. If you need, you know,
especially if she's at classes or something like that that comes up in one meeting that she's going to be attending for in the future. There could be situations where we could.
Okay. Do we need a consensus on that or anything, or is it just pretty much? Most are brought up, we're aware of it. Am I right in thinking that fits in with her scope of decision making?
As far as what? Do you want to authorize her? Is you're wanting to give direction for her to go and get the city cell phone? Is that right?
She's wondering if she needs to give.
If we even have to go specific direction as councilor, that fits within her role of decision.
Well, I don't know. We haven't actually established that.
Oh, okay.
So I would just assume give her the authority to do that, so that it's clear on the clinical and that she can move forward with it.
All right, then we need to do that in regular session.
Just give her consensus.
Okay. Yeah. Council, do we have consensus to do roll call to give Luana authority to get a cell phone for staff use?
Yes.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Well, now you've kind of taken a vote, so we need to go to the regular session.
Oh,
consensus. And we had a vote, so I don't want to go there on the work session.
Okay.
So we'll just put on the regular session and as a voted item.
Okay. Your mayor, Steve? I just wanted to record that everyone, that we all had consensus, so I guess I did it wrong. Anyway, okay, all of us have a yes, that will be.
Because I miss you and I want to talk to you every day.
It's a long time, huh?
Yes.
Shame on you.
That will be fun.
For staff. All right. Okay, and back again to the staff and council communication discussion. Do you
Did we just sort of determine CC everything?
And just for the record, while I'm on vacation, all my emails are also automatically being forwarded to Pat.
Okay.
So just so you know that.
Oh, okay.
So there shouldn't be anything being missed.
All right. Okay, any other discussion on the work session?
No.
Then I will call for a motion to adjourn.
I would so move.
I second it. Been moved and seconded to adjourn the work session. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor Hedges, yes. Councilor Shield, yes. Work session is adjourned at 6:04 p.m.
I will.
Now, we will have roll call, establish a quorum in the usual manner.
City Recorder Luana Danagal.
City Attorney Jeremy Green.
Mayor Kitty Shields.
Councilor Barbara Hedges.
Councilor Douglas Ward.
Ministry Assistant Patty Morgan. Right, all staff are present. Let's note that Councilor Mullanen is away by arrangement. We do have a quorum, so the meeting will proceed. Anne, would you like to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, the next item is number 4, added agenda items. We do have 3 of them. Councilors, if you will add under number 15, other matters. We have 15A, Mid-State Electric Ford Foundation contracts discussion. Ready? Number 15B, okay, I know I wrote this down somewhere, somebody help me here. cable subdivision road improvements. And item 15C, approval of cell phone acquisition for staff. All right, we'll move on to number 5, the consent agenda. Don't have minutes available from the last meeting for approval, so that will be carried over to the Tuesday, November 10th meeting. So we will move. Other items on the consent agenda is approval. Bills and invoices, approval of reimbursements. We simply approve this by motion and vote. If there's any concern or discussion, it will be taken off the consent agenda and also move to other items.
No.
Is anyone?
No problem.
No.
Well, I do have. So I would like to have, approval of reimbursements. It's an entire package. I have an issue with only one part of it. It's an entire package, but I'd like to just move the entire package to
item 15D. And the reason for this is because if Adele's request, if Councilor Malina's request is incomplete, it doesn't really tell us what it's for. I'm sure that was just an oversight. To item number 6, presentation by Newberry Habitat for Humanity. Michael.
My name is Mike Wilson. I'm currently the president of the Newberry Habitat for Humanity Board. And while Newberry Habitat's been around for some 16 years working in South County, it hasn't been particularly visible in Lapine because these houses have been built out of the woods in various places where we found affordable lots. Well, that's changed and is in the process of changing. Right now, we're in the process of building an 11-unit subdivision just off Burgess Road. And we will dedicate and move folks into the third house in that 11-house division in about 2 weeks. In the past, we built an average of probably one house a year. That's about to change. We are moving forward with the plan that will see us build at least three a year for the next several years. First, we have to build out the project at Newberry Woods that we're in, but because of some available federal funding, we're now capable of picking up a subdivision in Lapine that was taken back by the bank in foreclosure. And there are 12 buildable lots that are ready to go there with the utilities in and the streets and curbs and the whole thing. So they are, as builders put it, big ready. The requirement of us is that we get those units built within the next 5 years, and that's a condition of the funding behind the purchase of the property. In order to do that, we are really going to have to be able to ramp up not only our income, although we've got a good start on that, but we need to start building a bigger labor force. And we're going to start a campaign in and around Lapine to make people more aware of what we're doing, how those who can qualify can apply for these houses, and how they can help us get them built. In the past, the business communities and the contractors have been very generous in their support of what we're doing. Just to give you an idea of the mechanics of how these houses work, they're for a family of two, right now the minimum income that we will accept in order to qualify somebody is $17,000 a year. Interestingly enough, as everybody's income is going down, they're using two-year-old figures, so the figures they're using actually went up. We've applied for relief in that, and I think we'll get them back to about $16,000. That's for a family of two. Maximum would be about $26,000. For a family of four, the minimum is about $17,000, and the maximum is about $37,000. So these are working families, and screen these folks, and in both these subdivisions we have very strong CCNRs so that they're well kept and all the rest of that. But what this means is that within the next 5 or 6 years, if all goes the way we hope it will, we could see as many as a total of 24 Habitat homes within Lapine city limits. And I know that municipalities are required to have on hand an affordable housing component in their planning process, and we'd like very much to be considered an element in that affordable housing plan for the city. One of the ways we're going to attempt to finance some of this work is we have negotiated a lease on a building north of Burgess Road on 97. It's been empty for a very long time. It's a 4,000 square foot building, and we are going to establish what's called a restore in that building. And a restore, most Habitat affiliates have a restore around the country. All five of the other affiliates in Central Oregon have them. And what they do is they accept donated building materials and appliances and fixtures and furniture and then sell them. And so we hope to have that up and running by the first of the year, if not sooner. So we hope to be a supplier of affordable materials for the community, and we hope to also get some people in the community involved in helping us run that place as volunteers. So Newberry Habitat's presence in the Pine is going to shoot up substantially, and so we really want to do what we can to be seen as a positive element in La Pine. We want to get to know the folks in La Pine a lot better than we do, and we want to recruit folks from La Pine to serve on our board, to help us work with the business community and make this thing happen. So that's our story. Right now, it's a matter of getting the word out as to what's going on. Newberry Habitat is going to have a pretty substantial stake in La Pine, and I think La Pine's going to have a pretty substantial stake in Newberry Habitat. So we want to do this in a spirit of real cooperation, and we want to get the word out that we're going to have a number of homes available that people are going to be able to afford to live in. One of the things that makes a Habitat house affordable is that families are required to put in $400 of sweat equity in the construction of the home. In return, they move into the home with no down payment. And secondly, we base the mortgage on the sale price of the house, so they get a 100% loan, and they pay no interest on the loan. That means that their monthly payment is a lot less for a new house, is a lot less than the rent on, in many cases, folks are moving into these houses out of old single wides and manufactured homes that are 30 years old, that are leaking and having all kinds of problems. We just had a family move in last year to Newberry Woods out of one of those units, and they discovered in these new units, because we're building them in very high environmental standards, green standards in terms of energy use, their utility bill went down by $100 a month. So they're living in a bigger new house, and they're saving $100 a month on their utility bill. So we're going to continue to work on making these houses as just as efficient as we possibly can. So that's our story, and we want to get it out to as many people as we possibly can, and we'd really appreciate any consideration the city might give us in terms of including us in their affordable housing component of their planning process. Are there any questions for me?
Councilor Ward.
Yeah. Very nice presentation, by the way. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Where are these 12 lots that are available right now?
Okay, they're on Mintz Way, and that's if you go down to Mintz State and turn left on Mintz, you go down about a block, and you'll see a whole circle there of places where even the mailboxes are up and the driveways are in and the whole thing, and there are no houses. And the developer put that all together and then folded, and the bank took it back. And we're working with the bank now to negotiate the sale of those lots to us so we can build there.
Are you still considering going in into the industrial park with some kind of a... There was some kind of talk that you were going to have some kind of a prefab plan or something out there?
They are
still in the works?
That's in our long-term plan. One of the things we'd like to do is, because of the nature of the weather we're dealing with here, we have a limited period during the year when we can build.
Yeah.
In the long run, if we could establish a facility where we could prefabricate components of the house during the winter and really make that an employment base, because we would hire people to work in that, then we can go out in the summer and mail them up. And we had hoped to do something like that in the business part, but the development costs of moving into the business part were more than we could handle.
Yeah.
So what we have done is we have a lease with an option to buy this property on 97th, which is actually more visible for us in terms of the restore, but it's also a very large lot with a lot of room to expand. So it's entirely, and we've had the building inspected, and we've been told, although it looks pretty tacky because it's old and it's all dark wood, but it's built like a fort. So, in fact, he said, if you want to tear this down, you better bring a big crew, because it's going to be a real job. But he said, this will stand another 20 years. So it's entirely possible what we'll do is build a second building on that property, and that's where that facility will go.
The 11 units that you're currently, you're working on three yes. now, are those all located off of Burgess, just behind the boat store
yes.
by Dick's Tavern?
That's
so
right.
There's going to be 11 units in that.
That's right.
Total?
Yeah, we have 11 lots there.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Councilor Hedges. Yeah, I'm interested. What are the size of the lots?
They're about what we would call a city lot. They're probably about 6,000 feet.
Okay. So you're building off of Burgess and then on Mitz, off Mitz Way.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
We haven't finalized the deal with Mitz yet, because we've already been talking to the bank that owns the property, mm-hmm. and we've now got the go from the NSP funding that's available to make the purchase. So we hope to nail that down within the next few weeks.
That's good. And then you have paved streets too.
Yeah. Well, part of the deal is we don't want to get it. We would much rather be working, first of all, in building a neighborhood, you know, where there's real community, as opposed to people scattered around out in the woods. Secondly, we really would like to not exacerbate the problem of what, for lack of a better word, I'd call urban sprawl. We would much rather be working in areas that have already been zoned, and in this case, already the infrastructure is in for exactly what we're going to build. So we're not getting into pushing the boundaries in terms of the growth issue at all. We're just taking advantage of what already exists.
Yeah, I know the place you're talking about on Men's Way. I've been watching it. Just sits there with nothing going on. So it'll be good to see something going up there.
Yeah.
Will you be available to attend our next comprehensive plan meeting?
Absolutely. I'm available whenever, because I'm really digging into this.
Yeah, because, that'll be something that our consultants will really want to know about and hear about, so they can get that worked into the plan, too. When is the...
November 18th at 6 o'clock.
And do we have the place secured? You know where it's going to be?
Right here. Mm-hmm.
Here?
Here?
Yeah.
Okay.
That'd be great to
November
8th.
Okay.
It's on the calendar. Okay, great. And I also would like to say, good presentation. Thank you.
Thanks.
We like to hear positive things here in the
game. Yeah, it's fun to be part of one.
Good.
Oh, I'll tell you a very short story about this. I've been watching my watch. It's typical of what's going on here. A year ago, I was in Ray's Market, and I ran into a lady and her two kids, and her husband was with them, and they had qualified for a Habitat house. And the kids ran up and said, our windows are leaking, our windows are leaking. And I said, yeah, I know. And I said to the mother, I'll bet you're really looking forward to moving into this Habitat house. And she said, no way. And I said, well, why not? And she said, because in my experience, every time it looks as if something good is going to happen for us, it blows up. So I'm not going to believe it till it happens. Well, 2 weeks from now, we're going to hand her the keys to the front door.
No.
And I can't wait.
So for a single mother with two children...
Well, she's married. Her husband just wasn't with
her. Still, would it be more... what would be the yearly income? Would it still be $17,000? Or would it go up to the family of four?
No, it wouldn't. We would... We can play with those numbers.
Okay.
We'll even find a middle ground. One of the things that's just important is that we find that there's a pretty consistent employment history. You know? We want to know that once folks get into these houses, they can afford to keep them.
Yeah.
So that's just part of the deal.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that.
Sure.
I've kind of missed Habitat for Humanity in Lapine. It just kind of dwindled down there, so it's good to see a lot going on.
Well, up to this point, in the past, Habitat has been primarily, frankly, put together, and most of the labor and all the rest of that stuff is coming out of Sun River.
Yeah.
And we figured, well, that's enough of that. We need to broaden this. Mm-hmm. And we have such a great opportunity in Lapine right now, so let's get down there and start meeting those folks and tell them what's going on.
All right. Well, then,
yes.
Thank you again.
Mm-hmm.
And we will see you at our conference. Get your word in. Okay, we'll move on to item number 7, approval of temporary liquor license for casino night.
Is it just a standard temporary license application for casino night Toy Ring sponsored by Scooter from 6 to 10 p.m. The night's full.
All right. So there shouldn't be any question other than to just verify that everything's in order with the application, but you wouldn't have brought it to us?
Yep.
No, I see no problem with it whatsoever.
All right. Councilor Hedges?
I think it's good.
Excellent. Then I will entertain a motion to approve the temporary liquor license for casino night.
I will so move.
I'll second it.
Been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Lord, yes.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes. Motion passes unanimously. I like those easy ones. Next item, temporary consideration of vehicle acquisition. We asked Verona last time to bring back more information for us, and there are more comparisons and such.
And I did, I changed the number to worse gas mileage.
Well, that's a new.
It still looks like we could save money. The budget issue, with the applying into insurance and surety bonds for the vehicle.
What is the mileage on this now?
131,000 of
oil. No, I mean, oh, I thought you meant miles per gallon.
Oh, I went from 20 to 15.
They started the insurance. Is hard. Is this being paid for on the line 15 on the current budget?
Is what being paid for? Current? Yes.
Well, the operation of the vehicle and the insurance on the vehicle.
Yeah.
What budget line are we going to take it out of?
The insurance will be applied to line 15 under materials and services for the insurance.
Yes. Line 15.
For the insurance.
Okay.
And then gas, and you're asking about gas
yes.
and gas?
Yes.
The gas would go under, well, we've been using, applying our gas mileage under meetings and travel and stuff.
And still work. Okay.
So the only other part would be maintenance.
We have a line for we have a miscellaneous. So we could use this year.
And if we were to do this, at what point would it be available?
They were not in any hurry as the city sisters is purchasing a brand new vehicle, so they wanted to be able to hang on to it until they had made that purchase. She didn't indicate what timeline, but they did want to offer it to us first if we were interested. So
I think we should take them up on this.
Would we be required to use this? Because
you probably wouldn't want to drive it, would you? To
no.
To
no.
I don't know. That's up to the council. But
I think I would look at it myself more as a staff use vehicle. And always leave the option open for counselors to use their own personal vehicle going to meetings or...
It'll actually be cheaper in the long run over a period of time if you use a city vehicle and not bill for reimbursement for your own car.
Exactly.
And then it would always be available. I might want to use it to go to Redmond. Maybe.
Yeah, it would be
and it's a portable drive.
Yes.
You know, and my car isn't, so.
Yeah.
That makes a difference. Mm-hmm.
I was thinking of you putting it into four-wheel. What are you?
You grab it and pull it in gear and go.
Oh, I thought there were little buttons.
Not on that year, I don't think. We might even have to get out and turn in the hubs.
We'll teach you, Barbara.
No, I
don't.
Okay, so
you set this gap.
Does right. Council have enough information to make a decision on this, or is there any more discussion?
No.
Are you going to be washing it and maintaining it?
Yes, I do have past detailing experience, and so I think I can handle that.
And are you going to have a public license plate?
I don't, well,
that
already has one on it.
But I don't know that you can transfer that.
I don't either.
Well, but well, that would be a requirement, though, well, to have a public license plate.
You had to throw a curve into this, didn't you?
It's like that would be one of the smaller issues.
No, it's a large issue.
Okay.
When it ends up in Christmas.
Okay. I mean, that's not something you're going to make or break our decision on.
Yes, definitely. Yes, yes.
And at whatever point, if we decide to do this, at whatever point, sisters wants to let this vehicle go, we don't have to start using it immediately. We again don't have a budget line for vehicle maintenance. So, you know, then we've discussed this before anyway. Mm-hmm. So we can get it and have it here until such time that it's appropriate to put it into use.
Who's going to be insuring this?
The city, yeah.
No, I mean, who's the, oh.
The same that insures
I pay,
the city for everything else.
I pay almost twice that for insurance a year.
That's because this is not a private insurance company. It's City Insurance Services. That's the same company that insures the city for its liabilities, workers' comp, all of its medical, everything.
Okay, so it's a lot less.
Yeah, because it's a co-op. It's not a
okay.
Anything else, Council?
No.
I have nothing more.
All right. In that case, I will entertain a motion to approve acquisition of the Jeep 4x4 from the City of Sisters.
I would so move.
I second it.
Been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes. Motion passes unanimously. And I'm sure it goes without saying that staff will handle all the details. Keep us updated. All right, move on to number 9, support letter for Lapine Community Kitchen. I apologize. Luana got this to me, I don't know when, a week ago or so. I never had the time to get back to her. Has everyone read this?
Yes.
And does it sound like something that I think the city wants to say? We'll all be signing it. I only have one little hesitation here with the says the Lapine Community Kitchen is a vital part of our city for keeping families and the elderly well nourished in these difficult times. It is the responsibility of the city to make every effort to protect and support our citizens. That's something we want to say.
I
make every effort to protect.
I don't know if I mean,
I don't know.
If you want to go
take it out, you can take it out.
It works.
Well, I don't know. Does that just, you know, put us out there for everyone saying, hey, now you have to do this and do that?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Then you could change the words if you wanted to.
That's okay. People do look to their city to provide certain things, and we're trying our best.
It's so excellent. I like the idea of having the dining room and the other part across the street and the food bank and the whole bit.
Council Ward, any input on that?
I think we should sign it and send it on. I think it's very easy to understand.
All right.
We should do it.
I believe you put this together for us, right? Come on. Excellent. All right. I will then entertain a motion to approve the support letter for Lapine Community Kitchen.
So moved.
I'll second it.
Been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes. Motion passes unanimously. All right, we will move on to the letter to Senator Wyden. And,
I don't think the council, do you have a copy of it? Probably not.
I don't have one.
Yeah.
No. Oh.
I haven't got that far yet.
Oh, I
did
not know that.
I have a rough, very rough draft.
Yeah. That's
I can make very copies very of this.
You want me to speak on this particular issue? Or do you want
Yeah, sure.
I think the bottom line is Bob Loveland with our office reviewed the letter. He's made some contacts. He's spoken with Kim about the letter, and his thought process is let's sign it and get it moving forward.
I thought we had this at our last meeting. Everyone has seen this. Didn't we have it at our
Actually, yes. I had seen it.
This is concerning the piece of property in downtown.
The land transfer.
The land transfer.
Yeah.
And the suggestion was to, could-be letter presented to us, and the suggestion was that we tweak it and make it our own. And
give a grand suggestion.
Right.
Right, yeah.
Right. And I had a discussion with Bob Loveland. I thought he was going to do the tweaking and get back to me, and he thought I was going to do the tweaking and get back to him. And today we realized, or yesterday, that that hadn't taken place. So, if everyone is okay with the meaning of the letter, the content and the meaning of the letter, if you like, then I can go ahead and work with Bob Loveland and without losing any of the meaning, put it in a little bit different wording that is the way it would be City of Lapine language that we would put it into, and then go ahead and get it sent off. So would you feel comfortable with giving me the authorization that, first of all, do we want to get a letter out to Wyden on this, or to Senator Wyden on the land transfer? I think we
agreed
to that before.
Yes,
okay.
We do.
So, I'm looking for authorization to work with Bob Loveland to make it our own letter, sign it, and get it out. Without changing any of the meaning, any of the intent of the letter.
Right.
Yes, Council Ward agrees to that. Yes.
Okay, then did you have anything to add?
No, I think you did fine.
I'll entertain a motion then to authorize the mayor to work with legal counsel Bob Loveland to put the letter to Senator Wyden in our words and for the mayor to sign it and get it out.
Yes.
I'm calling for a motion.
That's your job.
Oh, I so move.
I second it.
Roll call, Senator, please.
Forgotten the job. Council Ward, yes.
Council Ward, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes. Okay, motion passes unanimously. Next item is City Number 11, City Reporter Wage Increase. Everyone's had an opportunity to read and consider this, and we'll start out by saying I have no comment. I like it the way it is.
I think it's very complete and very concise, and I think it rewards Luana for work well done, and we should proceed forthwith.
Good work.
Councilor Hedges. I just had the one section that we had discussed before. This isn't the place, but...
Okay, you wanted maybe a little rewording.
Satisfactory.
Okay. Just a little rewording in the recognition of job performance. Okay.
Right.
We can do that.
That word.
Did you have anything else?
No, I don't.
And how do you feel?
No comment. I mean, it's been going on too long. I'm ready.
It seems like there's not much discussion on this. There's been an awful lot of discussion. Yeah. And asking for more information and so on from the city recorder. It's been a long process. And we finally, with a lot of help from Jeremy and Milano working together on this, and the council too, got it into an understanding that I think is acceptable to all of us.
And so, as Doug said, we expect so much more now.
There's now 26 hours in a day instead of 24.
Yes.
I'm on vacation.
I think the expectations are pretty well spelled out in the summary of the city recorder's position. Yes.
We killed two birds with one stone. We've got the wage increase, obviously, in the job description.
Yes. Yeah.
So we can cross that off our things to do.
Yes. And you can do all that
good
for
us,
huh? I have confidence that you can. All right. Then we'll make that one small wording change.
Can she get a cell phone before tomorrow?
No. I just have to go up there and see someone standing on the corner there at the selling cell phones. All right, with the very small wording change suggested by Councilor Hedges then on the memorandum, I will entertain a motion to approve city recorder wage increase.
I would so move.
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes.
Let's also adopt the job description as well.
Pardon?
Let's adopt the job description.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I forgot to include that, so we will make another motion. Okay, city recorder wage increase has been approved unanimously. I will also entertain a motion to approve the city recorder job description as presented.
I would so move.
I'll second it.
Been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes. All right. Motion passes unanimously. Donna, do you feel more complete now?
Yes, ma'am. I got a car.
If you want to answer it, you can have it.
Actually, we didn't give him her yes, and she's
really sorry.
That's what
you
asked for.
Yeah.
That's
what
Barbara did, if I recall.
Yeah. You didn't decline.
No, I said no.
All right.
Okay.
We'll move on to item number 12, city auditor selection. And crossing them off before we're done with them. Okay. We did discuss this during a work session. We had, was this an RFP?
No, it's an informal solicitation.
Informal solicitation. We got one timely response to our informal solicitation for city auditor. We discussed it in the work session. All councilors agreed that it's a very good-looking
proposal.
Thank you. And we had no desire to extend the deadline date to anyone who did not get theirs in, which leaves us with one choice, and that's the one we have before us. Any further discussion or comments?
The proposal here from Greater Professional Corporation seems to be just that, very professional. And he has a lot of experience. He's done a lot of cities, a lot of counties, he seems to appear to know what he's doing. And for the money that he asked for, I think it should be approved. And we should proceed forthwith.
Thank you, Councilor Wood, and I appreciate you saying that. It, you know, for public information and awareness, yes, it's a very good proposal. He has this auditor has worked over many years with many different cities.
Yes.
So we anticipate he knows what he's doing.
Make it very easy if we wanted to do a check on his references. True. Everything is down very easily.
All right, then. I will entertain a motion to approve selection of Gregor Professional Corporation for the city auditor.
I so move.
I'll second it.
Been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes. Motion passes unanimously. Next item on the agenda is contractor selection for cable road improvements.
You want to go and pull up the contract and sign the contract?
Oh, no, I do.
Somebody needs to have that recorded.
Yep. Thank you. I'm so glad you're here. All right, we will back up to number 12, city auditor selection. Do I need a new motion here?
Or just amend your previous motion.
Okay, I'd like to amend the city auditor selection motion to authorize city recorder Luana Dandervall to
award the contract.
Award the contract.
And sign the contract on behalf of the city of Lapine.
And sign the contract on behalf of the city of Lapine.
So moved.
I'll second that.
Been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes. Motion passes unanimously. Okay, now we will move on to number 13, contractor selection for cable road improvements. And again, this was discussed during work session. Chairman, do you want to take that one for me and recap what we discussed?
Well, we had three proposals. We reviewed and evaluated those proposals. And I think ultimately the kind of consensus during the work session was that you were going to request that the city council provide you the authority to discuss further one of the proposals received from a contractor, and I believe the contractor was Vic Russell, to get some clarification on his proposal, and then at that time, if you deemed appropriate, to award the contract and to sign on behalf of the city the construction contract. There's the summary.
Okay.
Is that correct?
It is, yes. So, based on our prior discussion, we entertain a motion for approval for mayor, the city recorder Luana Dandervall to get more information. I forget what Luana said.
To give you authority for clarification and award.
Okay, to get more information for clarification in order to be able to award the contract, and upon receipt of appropriate information or information that I am staff deem appropriate to then approve the contract with authority for mayor to sign. I'll be here. I'll be available. Does that work?
That works.
So moved.
What do you mean?
I don't know. I so moved.
I second it.
It's been moved and seconded. roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes. Motion passes. Unanimously.
Yep. That was good.
What are we doing about the additional pre-snow work on the rest of the roads?
We're going to talk about that.
We're going to talk about that?
Yes. It's coming up.
That's
coming
up,
yes.
Okay, we don't have any papers on that, do we?
No.
All right. Item number
Fourteen.
Oh, yeah, that one's going to be, okay.
Yeah.
Planning Commission, update on commission activities.
I actually wasn't going to be here, chair of Planning Commission, and I prepared my vice chair. Did you want to do it?
I can do it. All I got to do is read.
The second letter I got to do is just kind of go into that. I put it in front just in case they want it. But you can just go from the last item right into that.
Okay.
You have to do the whole address and all that.
Okay, I'm just, this basically is what the Planning Commission has done by day. On the 9th of July, we began training with the consultants on the comprehensive plan. On 8/26, the planning commissioners were sworn in.
Yay.
And then on the 16th of September, we had our first regular meeting. We had elections. John was elected as the president and me as the vice president.
Chairman.
Okay. we reviewed our tasks and prepared for the October 8th meeting with the, it was a joint city and the county planning commission meeting. And then we also prepared for the October city comp plan hearing. On the 8th, we did have the joint city and county meeting to discuss county text amendment on utility facilities code, TA-0904. Also discussed the county sign ordinance, TA-0812. And the next joint city-county planning commission commission meeting is scheduled for November 9th. On the 13th, we held a public hearing to take public testimony on finalizing the city comp plan, finalizing city comp plan and UGB. The next public hearing will be on November 18th. On 10/21, there was a regular meeting of planning commissioners, and they discussed the Deschutes County sign ordinance on TA-0812 and made a recommendation to send Deschutes County Planning Commission a letter of general support. We are going to have another work session, and then we're having another meeting that is scheduled for the 9th, isn't it? Or
the work session was just now.
Yeah, it is scheduled now for the 9th of November. And then the 18th, we'll have a regular meeting of the planning commissioners. He's also included a letter of support to the county commissioners concerning the sign ordinance. And that's what we've been busy doing.
Well, thank you for that.
You want me to read it?
Yeah,
you can read it.
I'll read that one. Just one little more.
Excuse me, John, can I just ask real quick?
Sure.
I thought the work session on the Planning Commission was scheduled for the 12th.
That's what I had.
But I? At 7 o'clock.
The work session was 12th at 7 and then the 18th at
9.
Yeah, I'm sorry, that was
okay.
Most
okay. Okay, so I had
it. It is on the 12th, is work session 7 p.m., you're correct.
Okay.
And also, the following is an update on discussions arising from the regular meeting of the Planning Commission held 21 October, the last regular meeting, of an advisory/subcommittee to assist the Planning Commission. With important land use matter of transportation in mind, the Planning Commission would like to make the following request: that the Council make a recommendation to the Planning Commissioners to explore the formation of a Transportation Systems Planning Committee to assist the City using the comprehensive plan upon completion as a guide to fulfill the requirements of developing Transportation Systems Plan, State Planning Goal Number 12, State Transportation Planning Rule, or Administrative Rule 660-012. And this being a request, I've got it in writing in case you wanted it.
Yeah, just this one copy.
And actually, here's a copy. There's a copy of the update with all of it.
I can get you guys copy. Thank you.
Sorry. All you're looking for is a recommendation to the planning commissioners to explore formation of a transportation systems planning committee to assist the city. Well, you guys make it easy on us, don't you? What a good group of people.
And we're actually trying to make it easy on ourselves.
No, I think we have a great planning commission. You guys are real dedicated and hard workers. And whose authority would that be on? I don't know.
Well, the Planning Commission actually doesn't, you know, in the sense that she's maybe questioning, we don't have the authority. If you're talking about authority, it would be a subcommittee for recommendation for an advisory group under the Planning Commission, but the Planning Commission would be under the City Council.
Okay, this is not something you need a decision or recommendation on.
right now. We can review this. Let's discuss this with Jerry.
We're already the ultimate authority.
All right. Well, I'm relying on you to tell us what kind of time frames you're on. And
the reason, you know, transportation system plan is something that, as everybody knows, you know, the utilities and streets and transportation is basically the ground level thing. It's actually one of the first things that we'll be involved in, you know, planning. So it's just one of those first priority things that we need to get going on fairly quickly.
Is this anything that needs a lot more thought or discussion, or could?
Why don't we deal with it at our next city council meeting? Put it on the agenda.
Is that enough for you?
That's
close.
Wonderful. Thank you. All right. Did you get that down in your minutes,
mm-hmm.
Patty?
Mm-hmm.
In your minutes? It'll be at the November 10th meeting.
Perfect.
10th, yeah. Thank you very much for that. I'd like that you keep us informed on what's going on there. All right. We will move on to number 15, other matters. The first one is 15A, the Mid-State Electric / Ford Foundation contracts discussion. Gosh, here we have this wonderful, wonderful project before us, and everyone's been a lot of work put into it and everything, and it seems like we're in a situation where we've lost some time here, and now what we need to do is start at this point and see what's missing, what's up right now, and where we can go from here.
Want me to jump on that?
Please.
So, it's been communicated to me that there's this general perception that the city of La Pine has dropped the ball on this project. At least that's what I'm receiving. But what I thought I could do is briefly go through a timeline with all of you so you know, in general, how the communications have gone, and give you some perspective that you might not currently have. On 9-4, September 4th of 2009, we emailed a document to Mid-State, the county, and the Ford Foundation for review and comment. This was a three-party agreement that was to deal with everything from the acquisition of the lighting fixtures to the funding element, as well as to the implementation and construction work. ART responded immediately on 9-4 with a response to the contract. On 9-8, September 8th, Tom contacted us and informed us that he was going to forward the agreement to legal counsel for review and comment. County provided comments on 9-8 as well. Did not hear anything from Mid-State or Mid-State's attorney until 10-6. Actually, let me back up, that's not correct. On 10-6, after not receiving anything for nearly a month, I sent out a letter to Mid-State's legal counsel requesting a status report, wanting to know what was going on with the contract. On 10-7, we got a communication from Mid-State's attorney informing us that he was aware of the agreement and was trying to flush out some of the details of the particular project, if you will. He wasn't quite sure how the project was going to be structured, when his arms were on this particular project, and would get back to us later. Then, on 10-14, Art and I had multiple communications about the status. Neither of us had heard anything from Mid-State regarding what proposed concerns or changes they might have. On 10-15, we finally got an email from Bill Sheridan, Mid-State's attorney, identifying the desire, Mid-State's desire to change the contract structure and to break off the agreement into two separate agreements. One, a contract between Mid-State and the city as it relates to the installation of the lights, and then a separate contract would be signed by the city and the Ford Foundation as it relates to the funding. So on 10-15, I forwarded the email to all of the city councilors, and between 10-15 and today's date, we have all, with the exception of Adele, because she's been on vacation, have discussed the current status of the project and all have a general idea as to where we think we need to go from here. Why I give you this timeline is because apparently last night there was a meeting that was discussed at the city council and the city attorney had dropped the ball. I think this timeline clearly establishes that we have been moving on this project in trying to get this project completed. Not just for all of you, not just for the city, but for the community in general. So I thought we'd start there. My general sense, based on my communications with these three city councilors, is that there is still a desire to proceed. We have put a lot of time, they have spent a lot of time, and the city, frankly, has put a few thousand dollars into this project already, trying to get us to where we're at today. What we are intending to do at this point is, A, we're having a conference call tomorrow with Bill Sheridan. We mean Art Uecker, myself, and Bill Sheridan. Katie, I believe, will participate in that call as well. We are going to tell them the state, okay, let's move forward. We want you, however, to bear the responsibility to do the heavy lifting at this point, since we've already done much of the heavy lifting, and prepare a document that you believe is reasonable, what you feel adequately protects Mid-State as well as the city and the Ford Foundation. Send that over to us for review. We'll review it, and we'll decide at that time how to proceed. Understand, however, that there has been some change of terms. Initially, it was pitched to us that this would be a 10-year deal. In Bill's email of 10/15, he indicates that this is a 5-year deal. The term will be 5 years. Upon the expiration of 5 years, the city then would have the opportunity to either buy the light fixtures or continue status quo, which would be to, quite frankly, not assume ownership, have Mid-State continue to manage, maintain, and repair the fixtures. We would continue to pay our monthly assessments. So that's where we're at today. I don't know at all.
I just want to add to that 5 years, as I've indicated to you and as the Ford group have discussed, based on numbers that Mid-State projected for the first 5 years, which are locked in, I believe, at $12 per month for fixtures. Is that not correct, Mary?
Right.
No.
Or $12.10.
Sure.
Then we indicated that the Ford group is willing to take a projected, reasonably projected, inflation cost for that power for the following 5 years, and which comes to approximately $1,600 per light fixture per for the 10-year period.
Right.
And that money is ready to, we are ready to give that money to the city. Our recommendation for that funds, because all of our crystal balls are broke,
right,
is that, that the city place that in an interest-bearing escrow and or savings account from which Mid-State would draw the monthly power bill, providing a minimum of 5 years of interest gain, which would clearly, probably, more than mitigate that cost increase for that balance for the second 5 years, which for all intents and purposes makes it still of no cost to the city. You know, that's, you know, Mid-State will only go to 5 years. Ford is saying, we will write you a check that we believe, based on reasonable expectations, will provide funding for that power for a 10-year period. You can put it in an interest-bearing account if that interest exceeds the cost for 10 years, it's your money.
Is there any, did I miss anything? Doug?
That's a very good idea, Mr. Uecker, it really is. But let me just make clear from my own personal point, so for the record, 8 weeks ago in this council, we agreed with the Ford Foundation, with Mid-State and the City Council to a draft proposal to put this project into place, for which the City Council was 100% behind. We sent that proposal off to Mid-State for their signature. We all agreed to it verbally. 7 weeks later, they changed their mind. Now we have no proposal at all. The whole thing is hung up over there. We still want to see this project go through. We think it's a viable project. But until Mid-State submits what they want us to do, that we can agree to, that is close to what we already agreed to, nothing's going to happen. So the ball is not, as it says on the last page of this note, direct your attorney to wrap it up. It should say direct Mid-State to wrap it up. And then we can proceed, because we have no problem proceeding with this. But we can't sit around for 8 weeks and then find out, oh, well, we changed our mind. And that's exactly what happened.
Or that the deadline is November 4th.
Well, the problem, if I may speak, the problem is that we have ordered the lights, but we have a deadline. If those lights are not, if that project is not completed, we lose our funding. Mm-hmm. We lose a $5,000 grant from the Ford Foundation. Okay. A reasonable amount of time to start digging and get the conduit and the stuff in the ground, we're there. Now, we realize that Mid-State's attorney was on vacation when this thing started, and then he was in litigation following that, so, you know, he was on a three-week vacation, which we couldn't do anything about. And he was in litigation, so we couldn't do anything about that either.
Sure.
But I don't know what seems to be the hang-up between the city and Mid-State. What is it that they're not coming to agreement on?
I don't think there's anything yet. That's what's interesting about this entire issue. We just need an agreement from Mid-State now. You know, he notes in his email that if we are in agreement conceptually, more or less, I'm paraphrasing, with this change of structure, to let him know and he'll proceed. So that's what we're going to do. Tomorrow during this conference call, we will go ahead and we will tell him, you send us over an agreement that you think is adequate, that you think captures the essence of this relationship. We'll review it. And if it's acceptable to the city councilors, we got an agreement. Simple as that.
Okay.
And that's all that we've been waiting for 7 or 8 weeks.
And in fairness to city, and I will say this because I've said this before in the Ford meeting and I'm representing the Ford group. 3 weeks ago, Jeremy called me at my house in an evening and said, I just talked to Bill Sheridan and changed the rules. They want a two-party contract. They want the Ford group to have nothing to do. They want to do the installation. They want to have control and all that. And he asked me, how do you feel about that? And I said, I believe the Ford group would be fine with that because, again, this is a gift to the city.
Right.
The issue of who digs the hole and puts the pipe in it and pulls the wire through is not as important to us as getting the project done. And Jeremy knew that then, and I know very well the next day that information was given to Mr. Sheridan, and it still sits there waiting for a response from him.
Well, one of the things that was discussed last night in our meeting was that one of the reasons that was done was because of liability issues for putting in the underground services.
See, and that's not generated by the city, though.
No, I know, but I'm saying that Mid-State has, by taking control of that, can right. control it, make sure it's done, everything's done, you know, according to...
From the city standpoint, and I'm going to speak for the city because I talked to Jeremy about this very point. That's where they want to be with it.
Right, right.
And it's clearly where Ford wants to be because it puts the experts in control of that stuff that they're experts at.
The bottom line is we could have had this deal done with the three-party agreement. That was easy. I mean, that was really easy. They were concerned, they meaning Mid-State,
right.
was concerned that the foundation would not be around to stand behind some of the terms as proposed in that agreement. They wanted it bifurcated, broken off, because they know ultimately the city will be there and be held accountable. So if, for example, not that this will happen, but if the Ford Foundation weren't able to come up with sufficient financial resources to satisfy this 10-year term, mm-hmm. we ultimately are on the hook because you're no longer a part of that agreement. Mid-State didn't want any part of that. I mean, that's what I'm kind of extrapolating from the conversation. If I'm Mid-State's attorney, sure, I'm going to identify that as an issue as well. But I just want you all to be aware that is not being proposed nor pushed by the city. We aren't even concerned necessarily with the myriad liability issues that might exist. We are confident that Mid-State, because it is a very reputable and outstanding organization, will do the work first rate. We are just asking, as far as this agreement is concerned, ultimately, that we get standard reps and warranties, we get insurance coverage, voila, we move on. That's all we've ever asked for, and that's all we're ever going to ask for. So if we get those standard minimal, I don't want to qualify with minimal, but if we get those standard reasonable provisions, I don't think we're going to have a problem here. I fully expect that Art and I will strike an agreement, a simple funding agreement with the foundation. We should get an agreement with Mid-State that more or less puts Mid-State in a position where they're going to serve as a construction manager. We want no involvement with the work. We are putting our trust and faith in Mid-State to do all the work and do it properly. So it really isn't that complex.
Can you tell me when
For our record, could you identify yourself for...
Yeah, it's Mark Marisol, Little River Construction.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, from my perspective, the conference call tomorrow is really kind of like that, you know, whoever meets around tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And as a representative of the board group in that conference call, I'm going to request, as firmly as I can request it, that Mid-State's attorney provide a draft proposal now, not next week, not next month, now, unless they can somehow guarantee that if that bill is delayed 1 or 2 weeks, they can still have lights up operational on the 5th of December for the Truckers Life Parade, which is when we want to dedicate in the city. And I don't know how to get much more formal with him than that. And all he has to do is tell, if I understand this right, tell you what he wants, put it on a piece of paper, and get this damn thing signed and going.
The ball is literally in, or will be as of tomorrow when you and I talk at 3 o'clock. We are placing the ball in their court. They need to do the heavy lifting because they are the, again, Mid-State is the entity that has decided to change the relationship and the direction. And so I think it's only equitable that they now do the heavy lifting and get us a draft to review and approve.
And one other thing for the record that I'm sorry to interrupt.
Jeremy has had this conversation with each of the counselors individually, and we can talk about this specifically, but I assume then that it's each counselor's desire that the onus be placed on Mid-State Electric to provide the new contract.
Sure.
We put plenty into this and attorney costs and everything, and it's the consensus of the council that Mid-State Electric, as Jeremy said, since they changed the rules, they need to come up with the new contract.
We want to proceed with this project, but we can't go anywhere until Mid-State gives us whatever information that they're going to give us. And that's where it's stuck, right there. It's stuck nowhere else.
For the record, I'd just like to say a couple of things. First of all three parties in this, Mid-State, the city, and Phil Pine, and the Ford group, and when I say the Ford group, I'm going to talk about myself specifically, because I represented the Ford group in regard to legal and permit issues. I accept responsibility that my committee should have been on this 6 months ago, not 2 months ago. That was our fault. I accept responsibility. If we had been quicker on the trigger, we may not be where we are today. Having said that, you know, hindsight is 20/20. I think all three parties bear some responsibility at some point in this process for something maybe being an issue. But it's clearly, to be fair to everybody, I think we need to not get into the blame game.
I'm just saying we need to be in the fix-it game.
Sure.
Let's put our heads together, get some words on a piece of paper, get it signed, get some lights put up, and that's all we're after, and I know that's all here.
Exactly. The message right now is, when that is done, we're at this point now, without a conference call tomorrow,
we'll move on.
And we'll move forward.
The intent of this communication, this dialogue, is just to inform all of you. You presumably didn't have much of this information. Now you do. Now you've got a little bit different perspective. We are still 100% behind it. I'm on that call tomorrow. I've got to work long hours next week to get it done. I will be there doing that.
So, can I ask a question? If you guys, tomorrow in the conference call, get things sorted out, within a reasonable amount of time, when could we expect, if you agree tomorrow, could we expect to have a signed contract?
I have no idea when Bill will get that document to me.
See, that's...
It could be Friday, it could be next Friday. I mean, I don't know. Presumably, Mid-State is communicating with Bill about the need, the necessity to get this done right away. Art and I will make that communication very clear tomorrow.
I can tell you that Tom told me today that they're preparing to let out the bid for the excavation and the conduit installation.
Sure.
And should have that ready to issue
by the end of next week.
There you go.
So, theoretically, if all the stars align, please God.
We can have shovels in the dirt by next week or the beginning of the following week, which, and Tom has again told me, and Vern, you can tell me if this is smoke, but he still thinks we can hit that December 5th deadline if we can get started on this thing in the next week, with you guys doing the work on it. But I, you know, I'm hoping that, you know.
Okay, is everyone clear? We know where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed with this tomorrow. And I know you had your hand up. Did you have anything different to add?
No, I just want to say that from the perspective of the community and some of the other Ford people has been that, you know, we got the blessing back in February from the city council, and then we started to discuss the contract issues in the middle of the summer, and here we are, and I mean, we're frantic, literally.
Sure.
And just so that you have a little bit basis of understanding from where we're coming from, we have dozens of sponsors and hundreds of people in this community who back this project, who've been enthusiastic about this project. All of our personal reputations are out on the line, as well as the reputation of the Ford Family Foundation, to make this first project go. And I mean, there's a lot more at risk here than just the streetlights on Huntington Road. It's the Ford project, it's the funding that the Ford will provide to nonprofit organizations in Lapine. It would be a horrible black eye to Lapine and to other nonprofits in Lapine if we can't make this project go, because we've had a snafu three ways. It would just be absolutely tragic, and it would be a terrible, terrible black eye.
Well, that's exactly why we're in this conversation, and why we're going to get to a point tomorrow where we make it happen.
So let's talk, practically speaking, how this applies to us. If we get that agreement gelled, at least in concept, I think we're going to have to call a special meeting.
That's fine.
Okay.
We should, yes. Mm-hmm. The sooner we can get it done and get it approved and get it signed, the sooner we can get going there.
So
we have to get the paperwork first.
My thought is, as soon as I get a sense that we're there, I will know that we're on or you're not in. I'll notify Patty. We get a bow out immediately. I'll call Patty and we'll get a special meeting scheduled and get it approved.
Yeah, that's good.
We could do a daytime meeting even.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And frankly, if it happens, let's just say, for example, Friday afternoon, we could call an emergency meeting.
This Friday? I mean, the 5th?
I'm just throwing, no, I'm talking this Friday.
Okay.
In 2 days, but who knows? But
you also, although somewhat tongue-in-cheek, if you need me to go pick up Sherry and bring him to you.
You might want to call us volunteers.
Yeah.
Well, that's on recording, you know.
All right. I'll take it right to bring it to you.
Okay. And Art, when we get this done, you and I are grabbing a beer, right?
But nobody's going to be driving afterwards.
Careful about that. I'll be dedicated.
And I'm going to sit here.
Dedicated. I have overnight gifts.
Okay, I think we all know where we're at on that. This was, thank you everyone. I think that was real good.
Thank you.
Real good conversation. That's a lot. Got everything out on the table, and we all know where we are on that. So, which one moved on? Art will talk to you.
Yeah.
We move on to item number 15B, table subdivision road improvements. And, you were the one who did this.
The one who wanted to do it, you wanted me to do it. I'll make it quick.
Go for it.
Okay, so obviously during the work session we discussed some necessary or appropriate improvements to the Cable Road subdivision. It's in preparation for the snowfall in part. It's something that ultimately would likely be done again in the springtime after the snow melt. What we need is approval for the WANA to pursue the solicitation of the necessary roadwork, and after identifying a proposal that will be able to perform the services, authorizing her to award a contract and sign a contract.
Yes. That's what we need to do.
Okay. Oh, I must be half asleep here because I know that a motion was pretty much given to me there, and I don't know how I should word it. So. Oh, sure.
Because we need a motion to authorize Luana to pursue the solicitation of a contractor to complete some construction work to the Cagle Road subdivision, various roads within the Cagle Road subdivision, and then the authority to award a contract.
Okay, wait a minute. Authorize Luana to pursue the solicitation of a contractor to complete... I don't want to work that.
Construction work and road improvements.
Road improvements.
To the Cagle Road subdivision.
Okay.
And Grafter Road.
Grafter Road.
And
Road.
She was there. What?
And Grafter Road.
And Grafter. Yeah. Oh, yes, but you have to get Grafter. Thank you. Yeah. Grafter Road. Others want to pursue solicitation. Okay. And to...
Award.
Okay.
The appropriate contract.
Thank you, Jeremy.
You're
all right. And again, this is another item that we did have discussion on in the work session, and it was moved forward to the regular session. So, Council, I will entertain a motion to authorize Luana to pursue solicitation of contracts to complete road improvements to the Cagle Road subdivision and Grafter Road, and to award and sign the appropriate contract.
I would so move.
I'll second it. It's been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, aye.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes. Motion passes unanimously. We're going to have to quit doing that. They're going to think we're all just a bunch of yes people.
I've heard that from people, but we've talked about it before.
Well, that's true. We talk about it, and we don't start out with everyone in agreement on everything. In fact, sometimes we're quite polarized. So
we make concessions.
We do. We make concessions. We get it down to something that everyone can agree on. And, you know, we'll be in this long enough. There will be a time sometime that no matter how hard we try, there will be some split votes. It's going to happen sometime. All right. Next item is 15C, approval of cell phone acquisition for staff. And we're already going to approve that in the work session, and then I worded it wrong, so it actually came out in a formal motion. So, again, we've been there and had this discussion.
And we want Luana to be accessible at all times.
Actually, it is something that was brought up by Councilor Hedges, that with our city recorder being out at meetings and classes and everything, that, printing, yeah. Yeah, you're authorized vacation. Anyway, she is out a lot, and once in a while something comes up that we need her input on. It's something she has stored in her head. And Councilor Hedges suggested that it might be a good idea for the city to provide her with a cell phone. We had discussion and agreed that that would be a good idea. So, I will entertain a motion for approval of cell phone acquisition for staff.
I moved it.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me finish it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm thinking it won't, and it should be, and I always leave something out. Approval of cell phone acquisition for staff and authorization for City Recorder Dan Revelle to enter into a cell phone contract.
Oh, yeah, it's only one of those phone calls.
Yes. Yeah. And sign something like that.
I sign it.
I second.
And moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes. Motion passes unanimously. Next item.
And can't be a blackberry.
She's frugal.
She's frugal.
I don't even know what it is. Oh, one of those.
The one that has looked out for city funds. All right, next item, number 15D, approval of bills and reimbursements. I ask for that to be moved from the consent agenda because I had one item of concern. Councilor Malena's reimbursement request is not complete. I'm sure it was a total oversight, but she did not explain the purpose of her travel. We have parking costs and automobile mileage, but we don't know where she went to. I mean, we do, just because we know that if we approve it and file it this way, then there will be no record of what it was for. So I would like for that simply to be returned to Councilor Malena to be presented again at the next meeting. I don't even know if I need consensus. That's just a direction.
May I provide some input on that?
You may.
Actually, this was given to us just before the last meeting, and it wasn't in time to be put on the consent agenda then. And being how it's quite a substantial amount, I would think that we don't want to wait too long on that one. I'm sorry.
She's gone.
It was an out-of-pocket thing. Pardon.
Yeah, when's she going to be back? From
she'll be back from vacation. Okay, thank you. It was on our calendar, so she's not on.
Thought it was Friday she would.
Yeah. She'll be back maybe this week.
No, Jeremy, any recommendations?
Well, I think you know what the expenditures relate to. I think you could probably pin it in.
Just do that with the,
that is fair.
What's the word that I want with the, confirmation from city recorder that she knows what it is?
Sure.
All right. This was, Northern Oregon Cities Conference. You want it?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
In Portland.
Conference. Purpose?
October 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th.
Data? Okay. October
1st, 2nd, 3rd, I think.
I think it was. 1, 2, and 3. Council, you have that? And ready for approval?
Yes.
All right, then. I will entertain a motion for approval of Councilor Monet. Approval. We have more than that. Bills and invoices with the added information to Council and Malayan's reimbursement request as noted.
I so move.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes. Motion passes unanimously. All right, good. I'm glad we got that done. Wow. We had so many things, it almost seems wrong to stop now. Okay, good. We don't have any other added agenda items, correct? I want to be sure I didn't miss anything. Okay, we'll move on then to item number 16, public comments for items not on the agenda. And I would like to point out here that we have a pretty big turnout. We always like to hear from people, but we're not going to turn this into a conversation event. If you have a comment or some input, we would certainly like to hear from you. Again, please no interaction, no questions. Or if you have a question, we'll take
take note of it and come up with, work the answer into another.
Well, we'll see how we handle it at the time.
Exactly. Let's just try to keep it short, okay? Anyone? And then who there, would you identify yourself, please?
Mary Shields. My name's Dale Hutchins, and I'm a citizen here in Lapine. And I came here tonight to bring something to the attention of the mayor's office and the city council and whatever citizens happen to be here. Me and my wife have had a very bad experience here in Lapine. And I think that, as mayor, you'll be surprised, and the citizens sitting here will be too. I've only been here since May, and I'm a disabled vet, so my medical needs are covered. But my wife's aren't. She's currently an injured worker with a four-year-old workers' comp claim that's made it all the way to the state appeals court, an unemployment claim that's made it all the way to the state appeals court. We qualify for food stamps. We don't qualify for any help from anybody for anything else. We're living on $406 a month. She went to the clinic recently here in Lapine, the Lapine Health Care Clinic, and saw a doctor. The doctor took some labs, took some tests, so they would call her back the next day. 6 days later, after 9 calls, we finally got somebody to give us the results of those tests. Told us to come in for another appointment. We did. We got to that appointment, and the person who looked at her said that she had maybe a broken rib, and then she changed her mind and said it was a lump or a cyst or a tumor, and that she needed to see a specialist. Specialist comes to the clinic. We actually had to call 2 more times to get somebody to actually verify that part. Then, after we found out that they come to the clinic, they told us if we pay $150 up front, he could see us. We don't have $150. They knew that before the situation arose, because we didn't have the $25 to pay to see the doctor to begin with. So we asked, is there some other thing that the clinic can do for us? And they said, no, you have to see a specialist. Okay, so we went in and we said, can you put that in writing so that we can go to Human Services and maybe get someone else to help us with this problem? Then when we wanted it in writing, they changed their story. Well, that's not what we said. We didn't say that you have a lump or a tumor, and that was the patient who recommended we send him to a specialist. As a patient, why would you do that?
Just a moment, but what, are you asking for the city to intervene?
No, I'm bringing this to your attention because if it was any one of you, and you went in for medical care and somebody says, you have a tumor and you need to see a specialist, and then the next time that you talk to them, they say, well, you know what, we've changed your mind. Now that you want it in writing, you're going to be fine. Don't worry about it. So we asked to see the only doctor at the clinic that we could find, who was supposed to be the person who runs the clinic. And this is what we were told. No, you can't see the person who runs the clinic, and we don't want you to come to the clinic anymore because you've called too many times. So I want to make you aware of how us rich people in the community are living. This is how we're being treated. So if that business is doing business in Lapine, and they were issued a business license, I think the city would be glad to know at least the ethics that they're operating under. I don't think, as a citizen, it was wrong for me to ask to see the person who's running a clinic, by the way, which was the only doctor we could find. Everybody else we seen was a physician's assistant or a secretary. Okay? We were asking for somebody in authority to give us that same, you know, you're going to be fine, don't worry about it. That's all we wanted from a licensed doctor. We couldn't even see the doctor who runs the clinic. I think there's something wrong with that, and I wanted to make sure you're aware of it. I don't need a city to get involved. I just think that it's my duty as a citizen to let you know what is happening to us and your city.
Well, we appreciate that. We do need to know, and everyone, I think, needs to know what's all the time in our community.
Any of you that go to the clinic, you'll notice that they got an award and got a congressional entry for being heroes for taking over the clinic. Well, if this is the way they're treating everybody else, I don't think that word should be up on the wall.
Thank you. Thank you for your input. Mr. Thomas.
Sir, can you see me after the meeting? I can get you in to see the chief executive officer of the Pine Community Health Clinic. I'm recently resigned treasurer, and with no negativity noted, just because I'm working so much with the Planning Commission nowadays is why I resigned. But I'm recently was an executive officer. I'd like to see you right after clinic, and we'll make an appointment with the CEO, okay?
Yeah, and I want to tell you, that didn't come from the secretary to Jeff. That came from the manager of the clinic.
Okay, let's not get into any conversation with John. Yeah. Thank you very much for that. John, he'll help you.
Yeah, just... Well, I think it's got me something really wrong, and I thought you should be aware
of it. No, it is good to be aware of just situations.
Can you write down the name and number, please?
I appreciate that. All right, anyone else? Did you have more, John, or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, I didn't mean to step in. No, not at all, nothing.
Okay.
Couple of these just require a yes or no answer. I'll try to be very brief. And some of these are from public citizenry, so please don't shoot me. The last one, however, is mine, so I'll take credit for that. Couple questions. Do the local papers print notices for the city at no cost?
No. Yeah. Well, they will if they decide to put it in. If you want to be sure that it's printed, you pay.
Okay. But like ahead of time with all the other notifications, meetings, and all that.
If we get it to the paper on time for the public notices, then yes. Then
and that's, what is it, a couple days? 48 hours?
No. We have to have it in by Thursday to get in Tuesday, and sometimes we don't even make it out.
So that was a kind of yes?
Well, the meetings, is that what he's talking about?
Yeah, meetings and any notification from the city.
Are you talking about the calendar that they do or public notice? Public notices you pay for, correct?
I don't know.
What are they meaning by the public notices?
Like probably meetings, anything the city, notifies the public.
Which paper?
The Frontier Days and all that.
PSAs.
Actually, if you have, would you be willing to go ahead and look at, call the paper and find out?
Sorry, I didn't realize it's going to be a conflict.
That's all.
Yeah, I thought it was just yes or no. I'm sorry. Number two, does the city have budget for city manager?
Not at this time.
We don't. Okay. And then, has there been discussion on hiring a city manager?
That's an ongoing assessment.
Kind of a hot topic?
No, it's an ongoing internal thing that we're just keeping our eye out, keeping an eye on to see when, if we're going to need a city manager or a city administrator, or if existing staff can work into that position. There are lots of options, and we are constantly monitoring it.
Okay, and then there's a side note here. It says, if so, is it required or in the best interest of the city to post notices for that job? With job descriptions, final dates, blah, blah, blah.
Absolutely, it would be widely advertised.
Okay. Yes. That's a yes. Now this one is Marlene. What has been done to date on the effort to change the speed limit on Huntington Road? The one.
Staff comments.
Staff comment.
No, I'm
here to tell enough.
Staff comments.
Oh, I see. Great. So a little premature on that. Sorry, I'll try to do that. Yeah. That's all I have.
All right. Well, I said no really question and answer, but you made it easy for us, John.
Trying to be brief.
That's good. And, if we can do it and keep it brief, this is, I like that. This is the way to do it. So, anyone else?
I just a quick, as president of the Ward Community, Jason, I want to thank you guys for the support letter.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for thanking us. I'm glad we could do it. Any other public comment?
Can I ask one question? Can I ask what the status is on your overwhelming job of the
charter.
The city charter.
It's on our goals and priorities list.
It keeps moving and shifting because of other things that come in to take our time or that create, take up more time than what we anticipated. A prime example is the lighting project. No one ever, ever anticipated this was going to take up so much time, not only in meetings, but outside of meetings. So,
have you been able to access the charters from like sisters who just tweak it to fit us?
It takes more than that.
Well, I know it does, but first you have to be a foundation, but and then you can change things as you go on.
We have nothing against greening. We just haven't gotten to the point yet where we can work on the charter in earnest, because it is going to be another involved process. Do we have to have hearings?
Yeah, I would think
late winter.
Early spring.
Right.
I mean, I'm just not out of a crystal ball, but that's what I'm kind of envisioning at this point.
Yeah, I'll just pound on the window.
There you go.
Jeremy, at the town hall meeting we had, you were going to check into the possibility of having one of the city councilor being out of the city limits. Were you able to do that yet?
I have, actually, and it's something I need to discuss with the city councilors as far as what we're finding. I will tell you that there was a comment made, I don't recall who made the comment, about other cities having charters out there that do allow non-residents to serve on the city council. We did an exhaustive research on the League of Oregon City's website, and not one city had that. So I'm not sure where that information was received. My kind of preliminary comments, do you want me to...
Please.
Preliminary comments suggest that it may be a possibility. Mm-hmm. That based on our research, constitutional research, state law research, talking about it briefly with the League of Oregon Cities, it looks like it's a possibility.
Yay.
But we have to find out definitively.
And we may not ever have a definitive answer. But we will be in a position to where we'll be able to, well, let me put it this way. I'll be in a position where I can advise the city council of what the issues are, mm-hmm. and allow the city council, or provide them sufficient amount of information to proceed with the idea that we're going to adopt a charter with or without. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So we are very close.
When we start working on the
city charter.
All right. Any other public comments? All right. We will move on to staff comments.
Just an FYI, when I was at one of my classes, one of the city sisters, two staff members informed me that they had bid on quite a huge amount of office walls, miscellaneous furniture stuff. They were going to have excess and thought of us first thing for their excess. We get first pick. Just to let you know that. So, yay, City of Sisters again. I wrote down here. Just a reminder, our meetings for November and December. In November, they are on Tuesday the 10th and the 24th. And in December, it's on Wednesday the 9th and Tuesday the 22nd. So those days are going to be a little different from our normal days. And your calendar has several meetings on it, so make sure you check those. Okay, as far as the speed limits for the roads, I did speak with Dan Serpico. I did send in the request for speed limit changes on Huntington and on Highway 97. He did tell me that they will move the speed limit signs on Highway 97 north. So the 35-mile-an-hour speed limit will be extended a little bit past the First Street intersection. They did get the speed data for the whole city. they did it for the whole town. And they need to verify their supplies and conditions. They should have it by the end of November, and they're waiting for information from their sign personnel. So they're working on it. That's all I can tell you, but they are working on it. On your calendars, the COIC dinner on Thursday the 5th. I think you all got this. This is the RSVP if you want to go to it. Just a reminder.
Is it going to snow that day?
I don't know. I won't be here.
Maybe. Maybe not.
Okay. So, and in response to your request from the last meeting, here is a list of my classes.
Cool.
And so I have up to date for three ratings.
Thank you.
On October 20th, I'm at the Public Works class. It is at ODOT in Bend on local roads and streets. It is an excellent class. A lot of Deschutes County Department and engineers were there. Learned a lot about what makes road fail, what to look for in sufficient signs and signals, and what can be done to improve them. So that was a real good class. On October 23rd and 24th, I went to Ethics and Leadership class through Ford Foundation, and they discussed how a nonprofit board works, different types of boards, and their roles, and also the basics on strategic planning and the whole process. And that was pretty hands-on, so with those classes. And this is just an overview. These are the classes I have taken. There's my totals down there. I'm almost halfway there. There are ways to go. And I believe that was all I had.
Okay, Patty, did you have anything?
No, I didn't. Thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to... Oh, Jeremy?
No.
Council comments.
I attended the last tag meeting. For anybody that doesn't know what the tag meeting is, it's the Lapine Transportation Advisory Groups made up of a number of citizens both inside the city and outside the city, and we attempt to ask and give comment to the County Road Department and ODOT for the concerns that we have, which are a lot. As everyone probably knows, the chairman, John Taylor, left and it's been turned over to three very capable people to run it. As far as COAT goes, the Wickiup Junction Interchange project, which has been fully approved, is on the two-year fast track for funding. It's only $36 million, so anyway, it's number two funding project for ODOT in Central Oregon. So we have a real good chance of getting that done. Of course, it has to go through the next legislative session, which is going to take 2 years, but it looks like it's going to happen. It just might be, you know, 2 to 3 years from now.
That's the fast track. Huh?
That's the fast track. You got to believe it.
And the only reason I emphasize that is for people who are still looking for immediate installation of a traffic light at First and Huntington and Highway 97. It doesn't happen that fast.
No.
May not even be a traffic light anyway.
And that's I can't comment on that because that's a different committee. But it is going forward. There is being some progress made there. As far as the county road work goes, everybody's noticed that the Huntington Road from Burgess North all the way to the Sun River, Thousand Trails, has been repaved, except for the dirt portion of Huntington, where it turns off. That was originally supposed to be paved, but for some reason the county reevaluated what they were doing and decided it wasn't important enough to do, so it's not going to get done. And I asked where the funds, that's all the stimulus money, and they didn't know.
They understood it fine then.
I'm sorry?
The county commissioners promised us that.
Yeah, no, well, that's what you get for promises.
We know that
the
pair has
to.
We,
it's
more of you.
We were simply told that project was reevaluated and that they're not going to do it. Now, maybe that'll change. I kind of doubt it. They are talking about Burgess Road and Day. The county wants to put in a roundabout there. the reason for a roundabout is that they don't have to straighten, you know, that intersection like this, just like First in Madison. They don't have to change that. They don't have to put lights in there, and it's a lot cheaper to do it that way. So that's what they're thinking about. I wouldn't hold your breath waiting for it to happen.
They haven't had class.
John, we didn't talk about speed reductions on Huntington. They are taking that into consideration. And I made the recommendation that they lower the speed limit at First and 97 by the gas station and McDonald's. And they agreed to do that, which they really needed to do that. I did again ask the county if they would put in asphalt aprons on the roads off of Burgess, which is Doe, Antler, and Pine. They agreed to it 3 times in a row. They just can't say whenever they're going to do it. They say, oh yeah, we can do that, but don't ask when. That's it.
Did they tell you about the speed on Huntington?
It's under consideration.
What are they going to do if it goes up or down?
Oh, what?
Speed limit.
Down.
We need to get back to council comment here and finish.
You suggested that that be lowered to maximum speed of 40 miles an hour from Burgess to the senior center and then dropping down to 35, and then, of course, to the school zone of 20. Currently, it's 55 from Burgess to the senior center. We recommended that be reduced to 40. They're taking it under consideration.
Just that section.
The whole road.
Well, that's practically the whole road.
Well, no, I mean, then from there north, it's...
North is, that's different. That's a different deal.
Different issue. Of the city.
Doug, I'm sorry. I made a joke to the county about having the first round about in La Pine. That may be my fault.
We will commission someone to put your statue in the middle.
All right, was that everything for
yes,
you?
Yes, ma'am, I'm done. Thank you very much.
Councilor Hedges, anything?
Very little. I also went to the Ford Foundation weekend strategy and goals, and it was very interesting, and I learned a lot, and it made what we're doing with the
strategic
planning, the charter and all that. What do I want to say?
Much it's shitting in and we're understanding how we're
thank you. I'm going to turn 34 next year and I'm happy. So we're going to have another weekend very soon. And there was something brought up about money that was available to the cities, and we're going to have to go over that because it was something...
Well, not necessarily to the cities. It was all the nonprofits, I believe. I didn't think it was something that we were going to need because we've already done it.
Okay. But that's all I have.
Ours is already being paid for, and that's what we just approved, was to keep that going with our CAC, is to keep going on our strategic planning.
Right.
So.
It will, and for to help us with economic development planning, that you
okay.
Still have to use.
But they did have some $4,000 grants available right there, so.
Very good.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Go Yankees.
Philadelphia 4-0.
I taped it. And
it was 4-0 in the second inning.
Oh, God, it's just
tape. Yeah, there's a lot more to go.
I'm sorry.
any trouble. It's listed.
What's his cell phone number?
Oh, God, no. No, they don't call mine. That's why I was willing to give it up.
All right, the only thing I have is a reminder, the Water and Sewer District's reminder to stay in contact with them when we're doing road work and improvements and such. I think that went to everyone, that we all always need to keep that in mind, that we're keeping it running. Otherwise, I have nothing. And so, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I would so move.
I second.
Mr. Moore, and second to adjourn. Roll call vote, please.
Dr. Ward, yes.
Dr. Hitchens, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes. Meeting adjourned at 8:05 p.m. Thank you, everyone.